Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Always wanted to hear the real deal when it comes to fitness, health, nutrition, and physical well-being? This is Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by Tasha McKee.
What's cracking, what's really good?
They don't pull any punches. You'll only get the truth about how you get healthier, mentally, physically, and emotionally. And now, here's Tasha McKee and Big Dave.
Hello.
We're on, and we're back. We got to get a theme song. We should have a competition for a theme song for Big Dave's Power Half Hour, Dave. That would be boom.
People could literally write in and tell us what they like to hear.
That would be lit.
Because right, obviously my other ones, no one got the damn cereal thing.
Well, remember? Somebody laughed about oatmeal. They were like,
oatmeal,
I was
cereal,
like, what the hell?
That's a hot cereal. That's gross.
Unbelievable. But we are officially back. Can we tell them where we've been, or we're just going to keep that quiet too? Because we've been teasing something for months.
We were on a break for marital.
Marital?
Marital issues.
What does that mean?
That means we got married.
Dave got married, guys.
Dave got married.
Look at how pink you turned.
I definitely turned red because I'm very excited, very happy.
You're like a little tomato
with ears.
I finally
married my person that I've been wanting to marry forever.
He finally did it, guys. And he was like, he wasn't like secretive about it. He was just, you know, working up to the day of the wedding. He had just so much going on. His tux was like a little bit late, but he looked amazing.
And Dre did a sick job.
You looked sharp. Dre, high five, brother.
He did a great job.
Well, high elbow.
Holding by Andre, killed it. And definitely he deserves the shout out because I'm not easy to fit.
No, but you did that.
It was literally perfect.
Perfect. So I'm so proud of you.
Big shout out to him. And M looked absolutely, incredible.
Congratulations.
I can't literally say it enough.
So before heading up to the mountains, that's where they wind up getting married in one of their special places, he brought his dog, Kai, out. Kai looked popping, too. Did Dre make his suit?
No, so I ordered that.
I was like,
and
whoa.
It was funny, so I ordered Kai's little tux on Amazon. And it was funny, so I got the package, and we left on Friday to get up there to get the rehearsal stuff done.
Yeah.
The boys and all of us.
Yeah.
And they sent me the package, and there was no suit in the package.
No.
And so I emailed the vendor that sent it to me, and I'm like, yo, bro, I said, you know, we have a little development. I got the package, but there's nothing in the package.
It's empty.
And he was like, oh, my gosh, it happens so infrequently, but it does happen.
Right.
Resent it overnight, got it Thursday.
Yeah.
And I didn't even try it on him. So it was one of those things I took a
winging
guess.
Winging it.
And so Kai is the one, he's my lab, he's the one that basically gave M her wedding present Saturday morning. I had not seen
him. Did she know he was coming
she
up
had
to the
no
mountains?
Clue. Okay. So the boys stopped at the house and picked Kai up about 30 minutes after we left.
Yes.
And big shout out to Ram and Chris. They went and got Kai and brought him up. So nobody knew.
No.
The only person that knew was M's sister. That's
okay.
It. So just us.
And yes.
So they brought him up and we hid him in the hotel room with us because I stayed with the boys obviously the night before. And
you didn't sneak peek at
her? No, nothing. So it was
so
just first time seeing her coming down with her father, which was absolutely amazing.
Did you cry, Dave?
I actually did. And you know, I have no problem saying that because I'm very proud. I could not literally finish my vows.
She looked amazing.
I couldn't. I was shocked that I literally wept like a girl. And it was okay. I was so happy.
Yeah.
And she deserved that because I wanted her to understand how important and special it was.
How much you love her.
And very much so. So Kai was not... He was not known to be there.
Yes.
So then the morning of Saturday when I gave her her present, her wedding present...
Yeah.
Kai brought it to her. So the boys, so we put his suit on and it fit perfect.
Thank God.
And we'll put a picture of Kai
On our Instagram.
So yeah. People can see his little suit.
He looked awesome.
And Ram and Chris did an amazing job
with him.
Great job,
guys.
You know, Ram and Kai are like inseparable.
Buddies.
And so Ram handled him and Em was like, I want him in the wedding. And I didn't even know that. Because so when we did the rehearsal, Kai had brought Ram down to where the venue was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like we're going to have him with us. And he's like, no, Em wants him in the wedding. I'm like, okay. I've said,
whatever
he's got
wants.
His suit. He's ready to go. And I mean, it fit perfect.
Perfectly.
And he was so good. And Ram did an amazing job with him, keeping him at bay. And he was just a little gentleman. He just sat there.
He looked amazing. So when Em saw him come up to her, was she in bed?
Lost her mind. No, so she answered the door of the suite that they were in when they were getting ready.
Yeah.
And Chris and Ram had been there, and Kai was sitting in the door holding the present in his mouth in his little suit, and they freaked out. So I was down the hall kind of hiding, so I didn't see her, but I could hear everything.
Yeah, so you
and
felt
it. I knew that it was a home run, but I did not expect him to be in the wedding.
Woo!
So we had thought about that like about 2 months prior to us going up there.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I have an idea, and I talked to the boys. I'm like, you know, you guys have to be the ones to make this happen because obviously you're going to have to bring him up and then bring him back down because we didn't come back. And they're like, oh, 100%.
They got it.
So they did an amazing job. So we couldn't have done it without them. And like I said, it went
perfectly.
So, yeah. So it was
so
good.
We'll make sure we put a photo of Kai in his tux. He looks super sharp. He was behaving the whole time.
Oh, my God. He did not move.
God.
He sat. I mean, he was probably better than the boys were. I mean, his demeanor and the way he listened was probably better than Ram and I. So yeah, he was a shoe in. And I mean, he made the whole wedding.
He made the whole thing.
He literally did.
So we're going to make sure we put a picture of Kai up on our Instagram at Big Dave's Power Half Hour, okay? And speaking of our Instagram page, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you. And like I said,
when he
I can't
came in
thank
today.
Everybody enough for all the support and love. Like, it was a big day and special. And
of course.
We're still, like, gleaming from it, which
you're
I hope
glowing,
is normal.
Brother.
But, you know, so, yeah. So
I just can't wait to become an auntie. But
he
walked into the station today, and I was like, so how does it feel to be a married man? He was like, great.
It's no different. I mean, you know what I think is funny is that I think leading up to it, I was not nervous at all because everybody kept out of you. You're nervous. No. I was just more concerned about making sure everything went right. And I got to be very completely transparent on this. You know, with the COVID, you know, we were limited on what we could do.
Yeah.
But Em's parents, you know, and Kelsey and everybody just did an unbelievable job putting this together. I mean, Em's mom was literally like the wedding coordinator.
Yeah.
And it's her birthday today, actually.
Happy
too.
Birthday.
So shout out to Mama Przinski. And you know, but the bottom line was that without them, it would have went.
See
and,
how family
you know,
comes
everything
through.
Everything was perfect. I mean, they went above and beyond to make this happen. I mean, down to putting like sanitizers and little mugs
everywhere.
To give out to everybody and candles in the lamps in the rooms. And I mean, just the attention to detail was unbelievable.
And that's an important piece.
And like I said, you know, Laura's not a wedding planner. I mean, you know, she's a mom, but that's
moms
like you
come in
you
and
guys
make it
can
happen,
make
Captain.
Anything happen.
Yes.
And she literally made this venue into like a fairyland. And I mean, it would not have gone the way it did without the family and especially without Laura doing what she did.
Yeah.
So I cannot even remotely thank her enough and dad enough and the families.
Yeah.
And the boys too. Like they made that happen with Kai, which I know was so special to her.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing is I
Big
think
kudos,
I was more nervous
everybody.
To make sure that everything was perfect for her.
Yeah. And you did it.
And we did.
And you're a married man. Look at
I mean,
you.
It was perfect. The weather was perfect because the next day it snowed and it was dreary.
Really?
And cold. Yeah. So we literally had that
romantic.
One day. So it was perfect.
Good
so,
job.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you guys.
So thank
congratulations.
You for all the support.
Congratulations,
thank you.
Em. There's
thank
love
you.
In the air no matter what, and the COVID can't stop that.
No, it can't. And that's the thing is that you have to adapt.
Nope, and you did. And I'm proud
just
of you.
Just like our new subject we got.
Oh, boys. All right. So on our Instagram page at Big Dave's Power Half Hour, we got a message. And it says, hey, Big Dave and Tasha Makia. Well, they call me Tasha McKee. That's a whole nother conversation, okay? But I still love you guys.
You have a nickname.
And you're always changing my name up. Like, listen. Anyway, it says, I've been listening to the podcast since the COVID started. And honestly, I'm trying to find ways to motivate myself to get into the gym. But due to my insecurities, I feel like I'll never get there. So, Big Dave, what do you say to someone who wants to get started but is too worried about being insecure in the gym as far as what others think, how to use machines, and even talk to a personal trainer confidently? How can I get my fitness journey going finally after 4 years?
Four years. Okay. Okay.
Wow, then you there's really a situation.
It
there.
Is, and I think that she's not alone because I can attest to it. Wow. And you can attest to it.
Yeah.
Let me just say this real quick. A little story and background for me is, you know, yes, I'm a pro bodybuilder, blah, 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 trainer and all that. That aside, you know, I remember my first day in the gym.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
So I was in Omaha Athletic Club in Nebraska.
Okay.
That's where I went to school. And I moved from Nebraska to Colorado years and years ago, back when they had like buggies and horse and like lanterns.
Are you being dramatic?
I am.
Damn it. Okay.
So anyway, my friend got me into the gym with his father, and I really enjoyed it. And I was playing football, but I was very small.
Yeah.
Long story short, I had decided to go to the gym the following week by myself, and I had asked my parents, hey, could I get a membership? And my mom and dad were very, very supportive.
Oh, yeah, that's
my
good.
My dad went to the gym with me because I was still young, so
how old were you about, you
I think?
I
was 16.
Okay.
I was 16, so I could drive.
Okay.
But, you know, I wasn't able to get a membership on my own, so I had to have a parent
there.
Parent
sign.
So my father came with me and was like, I'm so supportive of this, you know, whatever we can do to help.
Yeah.
So he signed me up, got me the membership. So I left, and then I went back the next day by myself, mm-hmm. and I was dressed a certain way that I thought was right, you know, and this and that. And I lifted in the gym with the guys with football, but never had I gone up, like, by myself
right.
to the actual gym.
Yeah.
So I went there. I decided to do legs, which my legs were the size of toothpicks at that time.
Aww.
And I got in the squat rack, didn't warm up, didn't do anything. I got in the rack,
oh
I put plates on, so 45s on each side, so 135, which is not much, but still, it was a lot for me because I'd never done this before.
That was damn near your weight.
I got in the rack, I unhooked it from the rack.
Oh my God.
I fell backwards.
No.
My first rep, the weight fell off my back and landed on the rack and made this god-awful
loud.
Sound.
Ugh.
The whole, it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So the gym was crowded.
Prime
so
time.
So everybody stopped and watched my rack. I turned around and I walked right out the door. And I didn't go back for like 10 days.
What?
I was so embarrassed.
Oh, no.
And like literally, like I was just utterly in shock that I did that. And I was like, I'm not going back. And my mom and dad were like, it's okay. It happens. And this and that. So it happens to all of us.
So, okay.
It really does. So the biggest thing is the insecurity aspect of going, look, you're not alone, especially with everything going on at this point in time.
Right.
The biggest thing is doing you. And we speak about that a lot on our podcast because
yeah, 'cause you gotta do
we
you.
Really want to enforce that.
Yeah.
You got to do you and not worry about what everybody thinks. And that is a hell of a lot easier said than done.
It is.
And,
that's true.
And even for us, I mean, to this day, of course, I still compare myself to certain other
we
athletes
all,
that I compete
we all
against.
Have that, yeah.
You know, radio, podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're up there with Oprah pretty close.
But I mean, hey,
you know, we're getting there. Joe Rogan ain't got nothing on our podcast. But in all seriousness, you know, you're not alone. And
right.
it's a very, very important subject because more people do feel that way but just don't want to say anything because then people make fun of them or people are like, oh, come on, it's a gym. What difference does it make? It does make a difference.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing is you have to go in at your pace and you have
right.
to do what you want to do. And you can't really focus on the social media aspect. You can't focus on what other people are doing. You have to go in with
yeah.
the attitude of, I'm doing this for a particular reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take it in little steps. And I think that's the biggest thing is people try and take it too much in one lump chunk as
yeah.
opposed to just saying, today I'm going to go and I'm going to ride the bike.
Right.
And then I'm going to do a couple sets of weights if I feel comfortable.
Right. Start
or maybe
small.
Some machines. Right.
Right.
And then go. Get
yeah.
out.
And then
the next day, I'm going to spend a little bit more time there.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they may get familiar. So one of her questions was, you know, how do I talk to a trainer that I feel confident?
That could be a little
and that is intimidating
too.
Because some of the trainers, being female or male,
yeah.
can be in a certain physique or they're intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not trying to be. That's just their physique and that's why they're trainers.
Well, there's some good trainers.
And there's some bad trainers.
There's a lot of great trainers.
Right.
But
and there's
then
some
I think
bad trainers.
The bad trainers who make you feel like crap
yes.
are the ones who make you feel like, damn, maybe this is not for me.
And that's what's interesting because a lot of trainers mm-hmm. that are in that position that shouldn't be trainers do
mm-hmm.
it because they've had insecurities and now they can yell at people and they can put, you know, kind of the tongue lashing on the client because that's the way they
and try
feel.
To demean them.
Yeah,
I
they
hate
almost
that.
Intimidate them and demean them. So you really want to find and talk to different people in the gym, but then it goes into your next point that you brought up. How do you converse with people in the gym? A lot of people anymore are kind of going in the gym with their ear pods on or headphones on. They look like some of them have coconuts on their head.
Right.
You know, and their
mask
on. and they kind of don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're rude or they're disrespectful. It's just they're in their zone.
Right.
And you can attest to that.
Yeah.
And a lot of our listeners can attest to that. I can attest to that.
Right.
And the problem I had when I started was, you know, when I started doing a lot of training and kind of getting bigger and more popular, I had to lose that attitude because everyone was a prospective client.
Yeah.
So when you're when you have this kind of disrespectful attitude or this chip on your shoulder when you go in the gym, people can't relate to the sense of this is your job, so it's my job to work out, but it's also my job to be approachable and to be open and to be able to talk to people.
Yeah.
And I had to go through some really interesting phases with that because when I went in the gym, I had that animalistic, I'm here to train, and if someone talks to me, F off.
Yeah.
And I did that for a long time.
So what was the breaking point for you?
The breaking point was basically stop being an asshole. Like, don't be that way because everybody here could be a prospective client.
And they need some
help.
And
you have to be open. And you have to be able to be approachable.
That's real.
And I think that that really stems, and that's something Em has helped me with tremendously, is that, you know, you don't want to be so intimidating that people can't approach you, but yet you still have a job to do, so people need to respect that too.
Yeah.
And so where's that fine line, that balance?
Exactly.
And I think that's one thing I've learned, and a lot of other trainers are learning, because yes, I understand you want to have that drive and that hunger and that passion when you're in the gym.
That's one thing.
But
as
a trainer, if this is what you do as a living, for a living, you have to be able to also stop and say, hey, you know what? How can I help you? What can I answer? Mm-hmm. But people also have to respect the fact that that's your time too. So there is that balance.
So it's a weird thing.
It's hard. And
I don't know. I think for me, when I first started going to the gym, I was like, am I dressing right? Am I, you know, are these the right people?
Are people looking at me and clowning me?
I would feel, and I was like, you know what, girl? Everybody's here trying to burn the damn fat off just like you.
Right.
Just go in there, and while you're in there, take a picture of this machine and Google how people do it and their proper posture and stuff like that. But I think for me, I don't know. I just have this thing within me of myself, and I'm sure a lot of people have it too. I kind of started feeling people out. Okay, I always see this humongous dude here. One day, I plan to work with him. And I wind up doing that with a lot of people.
And believe it or not, those are the people that are the nicest people in the world.
They look like they'll bite your head off.
Yeah, we're not going to bite your head off. But unfortunately, there is that small percentage that gives us a bad stigma. And most of us are big teddy bears.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of those people, whether they're a trainer or not,
are
the first to help you, with form, adjust
it's
a piece of a machinery. And that's the thing. So don't ever judge a book by its cover,
it's
I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Because I can attest to that.
Yeah.
And you know, so to answer your question, don't worry about what you wear. Wear something that's comfortable for you in the gym. Don't be intimidated by other girls or guys. And I think that girls and guys both get that intimidated factor. Like if you see a guy that has a cutoff shirt and he's got good arms and good shoulders, you're like, well, I'm going to wear a t-shirt because I don't look like that. Don't worry about it.
He
started somewhere too.
Exactly.
And she started somewhere too.
I think a lot of people, like I remember going to the gym, I would over layer myself because I'm like, okay, I need to breathe. Then I realize I'm sweating my ass off and it's like out of control. But I think, I don't know if it's guys. Guys go through this, obviously.
What's funny is I still cover up at the gym. Like, you've known me many years now.
I don't know how. He's huge.
And I always wear long pants. It could be 100 degrees. I'll wear sweats and a sweatshirt.
I like to be covered.
And a lot of the boys I train with are the same way.
Yeah.
They have amazing physiques.
Yeah.
Most of them compete. Some of them are pro. And they still cover up. And then you'll see guys or girls that are in the skimpiest of outfits, and they're walking around with a little bit of a chip because they're very proud, which is fine. And I get that. But there's a time and a place for that.
I just feel
there's a time and a place.
Fitness is, and I think at some point, I mean, once I became a trainer myself, I started realizing it's not just about, you work hard for this, so that's me.
I'm going to show it off.
But you're also, your physical fitness part, it has to do with the mental.
Yes.
Do you think at times when you're working with new clients who are feeling insecure and a little bit intimidated about the gym, you kind of feel a bit counselor-ish?
Oh, I do 100%. I wish I could drag a couch behind me because then I could charge like 3 times my rates and I would be a psychologist and relationship counselor and trainer.
Yeah.
And it's funny because there are some clients that I have and there are clients I work with currently and or in the past that are great acquaintances and friends to this day, part of the family, like we always say, that a lot of them would come to work out, but a lot of them just came to just talk and
to
be
vent.
Heard. and they would get a great workout.
Yeah.
And they could probably work out harder if they focused.
Right.
But they just wanted to get somebody's opinion on everyday life.
To be heard.
And to be heard.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as you can get your work
especially
done.
Especially right
stuff
now,
like that,
bro.
Especially right now.
Yeah.
And it goes into the whole thing of, like, you know, wearing your mask in the gym and being very proactive and not you know, falling for the trend of, you know, pulling it down and putting it down.
No.
Because, again, we have to be protective of everyone,
of
not just ourselves,
yeah.
and respect everyone's, you know, guidance and separation. And, you know, the biggest thing is honestly, try not to focus on the social media, because I feel like our industry is dictated a lot by what's posted by some of our iconic guys that are on there.
Yep.
And so many girls and so many guys try to follow suit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be the first to tell people this, and this is the truth, and I'm going to be completely transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my colleagues may not like it, and I really don't give a damn.
But that's why we love you.
I own it, and this is the fact.
Yeah.
Don't think that the diets that are posted by a lot of these fitness professionals like myself,
yep.
and or men and women that are in the industry,
yeah.
that's what they're doing. Because let me tell you something. A lot of these people do live that lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of them that don't, and they'll just put stuff out there because that's what people want to see.
It's bait.
And the problem is they don't live that lifestyle, because let me be honest with you, and I can always speak for myself.
Right.
There's no way I can maintain the size I am and do what I do from a professional level, eating rice and chicken and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I hate vegetables.
And number two,
there's a certain amount of rice and chicken I can only eat to get the caloric intake that I need
yeah.
to maintain the size I am.
Yeah.
So that being said, I'm only talking about my physique
for you,
and what I'm
but
doing.
But I love that you do that.
But my point is that I tell my clients I will go to McDonald's and eat 3,000
calories. But this is what Big Dave does.
Right. This is what I do. Now, granted, I don't practice what I preach because for me right now, it's not what I'm trying to do.
But you've
with my
been doing
body.
It since you were 16.
Right. So the problem that I have with a lot of your social influencers that a lot of these people unfortunately follow they will literally follow what they're saying to a T.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't work for them, they get discouraged and they say, well, the hell with this. I'm going back to what I did before, which, to be perfectly honest with you, would probably be better because it's not suited for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just thrown out there because that's what people want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get caught up in that mess.
No.
Focus on you. Get with a trainer or get with someone that really can help you, particularly you,
right,
and design a diet and a workout program and a cardio program that's specifically set for you.
Yes.
What if you have a bad knee? What if you have a bad shoulder? You know,
or these
things that you see on YouTube with the bro codes and all that stuff and bro science, those are just thrown out there to get you to follow
views.
But then when you tear a pec because you're trying to do what they're doing, they're not there to help you.
No.
They're going to continue to do what they do.
And now you're hurt.
You really have to focus on what's best for you.
Yeah.
And don't worry about what everybody else. It's great reference.
Mm-hmm.
And I will go to the grave for that. Use it as reference.
Yeah.
Maybe incorporate it as you get going and say, hey, I'm going to
try
something
a
little bit
more
advanced.
Yeah.
But if you're new to the gym and you're intimidated on going, just get in there, put your foot in the door, and get in there and walk around, stretch out.
Take some pictures of the machines.
Don't worry about what other people are doing.
Exactly.
Don't worry about what other people are saying.
Yeah.
But that is very hard. And I can relate
it
to
is,
that.
But if you want to be smart and you want to be safe, what I did this go around when I started all over again, I've been super consistent this whole year, is I take pictures of something. And if I'm not sure, I know Dave is busy. He's got a lot of things going on. I'll stalk him any day.
Right.
Believe me.
And I'm always here for everyone.
I got to get to a point where I could rely on myself. So, hey, what is this machine for? How's the proper posture?
Right, right.
Dave, what do you think? How many of these? Once you start looking up things and learning things on your own instead of depending upon what somebody else is doing that they've been doing for 30 years, you're going to grow confidence.
And
you
that's
really
the,
are.
That's the thing. If you can literally look at a machine and feel comfortable on the machine, your form is good, and you're comfortable on it, that's a huge goal.
Oh, yeah. You did something amazing.
You did something. And
yes.
So almost like we talked about before, instead of going in and saying, okay, I'm going to do an hour workout and I'm gonna do what so-and-so said on their social media page or what I read in like a Fit or something like that, you know, focus on saying, okay, I'm going to try two machines and do a little cardio today.
Yep.
Then tomorrow I'm going to add those two machines and add another one.
That's what
one.
I did, I swear.
And once you start doing that, you'll notice that your workout goes from 20 minutes to 45 minutes.
Yeah, and then suddenly
and you're
there
like,
an hour.
Damn, okay, yes. I'm starting to really see and feel.
And that's confidence.
And that is confidence. And that's the mental aspect that starts to kick in. Don't worry about what the scale says. Don't worry about what anybody's telling you.
Yes.
Focus on what you're doing.
What works for you.
And don't divert.
Yeah.
Really go in with tunnel vision to a degree.
Yeah.
Be that person that puts their headphones on and says, you know what? I did two machines on Monday. On Tuesday, I'm going to do three machines, and I'm going to try something completely different that I've never done.
Start out small.
And if you feel something weird, and if it doesn't feel right, stop. Don't be embarrassed to ask someone.
Yeah.
Okay, and if a trainer's rude or disrespectful to you, the first damn thing you better do is go to their boss and be like, you know what? Here's the deal. I asked and approached one of your trainers for help.
Yes.
They were rude. They were disrespectful. And you know what? To be honest with you, don't put up with it. Because let me tell you, any management that lets a trainer act that way towards someone new that's not comfortable in the gym needs to be fired immediately.
And you know what it is? It's already, you're already having those thoughts about, oh my gosh, should I do this? I'm a little nervous. I'm apprehensive. So for somebody to treat you like that as you're trying to get your goals on, you put your foot down. And that's right there helping insecurity and
all
that
intimidation
move.
And if
that
trainer is rude or disrespectful, then they're not there to help you.
No.
And they're completely opposite of what their
and
job is
to do. And don't let them slow you down and make you stay home. You got to just keep going. So,
yeah, don't be intimidated over that.
At all.
No.
Now, let me just back up because when we first started this, you said you dropped the weights, you walked to the damn gym, and you were gone for 10 days.
Yeah.
Now, for somebody that could have been me, what did it for you that brought you back? How did you, what did you say to yourself
after
mentally?
I got over
what
the embarrassment.
But 10 days, okay, so how did you get through that? Did you walk yourself back in
there? The biggest thing was the support system I had.
Yeah.
You know, and some people don't have that.
Right.
And I can understand that because there was a time for a while I didn't have that.
Right.
So I think that it was more of my own personal kind of
demons. Like, I really want
like,
this.
Okay, I need to go.
Yeah.
And I need to not try and be, you know, King Kong here, which my little ass at the time.
I mean, he's King Kong now.
You know,
but.
Well, no, but, you know, the biggest thing was is just getting that confidence in my head saying, you know what? Yeah, you did it. You look stupid.
Oh, well, yeah.
But that's the way it is. And, you know, if people see you in the gym, I'm back. I came back.
And that's them.
And that's
when
the
they
biggest
see that,
thing.
They're going to be like, bro, you came back.
But
good
I kind of had to have a conversation with myself. And I'm one of those people that can self-motivate myself. And I know it's very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not easy. And there are certain things I want to talk on in future shows about how to self-motivate yourself.
That's important.
How to kind of get yourself in that zone that no one can affect that.
That's humble.
Kind of like that Zen, Zen mode.
That's a humble feeling.
And that's
feeling,
something
though.
We'll can discuss. On a later show for sure, because I think a lot of people would love to hear how do you do that, breathing techniques and certain like your thing that you do, your the Tasha Makiya, the little blurp that you do every day.
I love your daily dose. I love you.
That is one of the coolest things. Everybody listen to Daily Dose, because I tell you what, you'll be driving or you'll be stuck, you'll be doing something and you hear it and you'll stop and listen you're like, damn, like, okay. And literally, there's certain ones I'm like, oh, wow. Like, that stopped me in my tracks. And so, literally, it's little things like that that kind of get your mind in a zone.
Yeah.
And you have to be the one to focus and push yourself through it. So, honestly,
bottom line
was, I literally got myself back in. My mom and dad were so, my dad's like, look, it happens to everybody.
Yeah.
You do that, you know, get back in there. And if someone says something, own it. And that's, I dropped it. I fell down. I look like an idiot. So, you know, but after
you
that.
You felt like one. You didn't look like
I looked stupid. I looked dumb. Okay. I looked like an idiot. I wore stupid clothes. But that's was my understanding.
That was for
that was just
you're me. The way you were viewing
right,
yourself.
100%.
Do you think it bothered you that much because you wanted it that bad? Like the person that's listening right now that wants to get in the gym, that's a goal. I want to be in this place. I want to live this lifestyle.
Especially
with
the
new year
coming.
Do you think it bothered you so deep because it was something you wanted so bad?
I think I was just so embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all go through that.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, to this day, being older now, like if you fall down or you trip.
Yeah.
I laugh at myself now. Now, granted, if I fall down, I'm going to bust my ass because it's a big fat guy falling down.
You're not.
So it takes a little longer for me
to
get
ridiculous.
Up. And, you know, if I bust my hip, like I'm going to be like in a in a wheelchair or something like that.
We cannot have that, okay?
But real talk, like, yeah. You have to laugh at yourself.
You do.
And, you know, you have to be able to look yourself in that mirror or on your phone, because so many people look on their phone. Look at that reflective surface and say, you know what? Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Exactly.
You know what? There's bigger things to worry about at this day and age right now than if you look embarrassed at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for anyone to call you out in the gym, that's
a piece of garbage. They're an ass wipe.
And you know what? Own that.
Yeah.
Own it. Say, you know what? I appreciate your words, but go F yourself.
But you know what? I look at it like you're testing me to see if I really want to be here.
Yeah.
And in life, whenever somebody tests me or try to be negative for me, this is my mindset because I wasn't always like
this. See, here comes the daily dose.
I feel like...
Here comes the daily dose. Everybody get ready. Here it comes.
I just feel like when somebody's negative or gives me that side horrible energy, I'm like, oh, you're trying to test me to see how bad I really want this. Well, let me show you how I'm going to keep this. And I'm going to keep going whether you like it or not. Then one day, you're going to come back to me and ask me how.
Yeah, so because you, gotta keep you pushing. Will literally overexceed what they've done. And I think that's the biggest thing, too, is that don't let anybody steal your thunder.
There you go.
And I think the biggest thing is that if you fall down, you look stupid, you don't know how a machine works, look.
Who cares?
Everyone's gone through it. And even all these little people that you're following on social media, they started somewhere too.
I didn't drop weights, but I've passed gas in the gym where I felt like a green bubble sat around me.
On the leg press.
Yes.
Yep, you get that booty actually, up. Yep.
I was laying down and doing this.
Yep. Lying leg curl.
And I was like, poof. I said, okay, guess what? We're going home.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go back for 3 days, but I came back with my gassy self.
Because it was still lingering.
And we got, you know what? I can't stand you. But we got it popping. And I love how you said that, man. Just don't think about nobody else. Just think about yourself.
And to answer your immediate, honest question is just do what you feel is best for you. Stop worrying about what your husband, your girlfriend, your wife,
or others.
Anybody else says.
Yeah.
And if a family member's like, well, why are you doing that stupid? Most of the time, your friends or family that are knocking you are really, really intimidated by you and jealous of you because guess what? They've wanted to do it and you're actually doing it, so they're going to be haters on you.
And
you
know what? They don't have enough fire.
Use that as your fuel.
That's right.
And use that as your fuel. And like I said, with the new year coming up, we're all ready for the new year. That's for damn sure. I love how people say, well, the new year, the COVID's just going to go away on the new year.
Listen, okay? We're working
through
it.
Bottom line, we're going to get through it. And let me tell you, your physical activity and your mental activity is going to get you through it more so than anything. So stay focused in the gym, wear your damn mask, bring your wipes, clean everything off. Don't be that person that gets up from the machine and just doesn't wipe it down, because that's going to get you yelled at, and you deserve to be yelled at.
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm going to yell at you if that's the case, because like I said, I don't want to be putting my hands on some weird-ass, gross machine.
No.
So.
But stay focused.
Hopefully we answered your question. And
you got this. Thank you, Laura. We appreciate your message. We'll be back next week with another edition of Big Days Forever. See, I should make that like into a jingle.
That would be good. And I could try and beatbox over here, but I'd sound like I was dying of something.
Okay, we're done.
Follow Big Dave's Power Half Hour on social media. At Big Dave's Power Half Hour. Join us next week for another episode dedicated to getting you healthier, mentally, physically, and emotionally. It's Big Dave's Power Half Hour, hosted by Tasha McKeon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.